Invite your attention this evening to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll begin in verse 6. We're going to take these verses as we go. We're going to start by just reading verse 6. And what the rest of chapter 4 is a summary of everything that Paul's been talking about in chapter 3 and 4. Okay? And it kind of brings it all together. And it brings it kind of to a close of the problems they were experiencing in Corinth. And that was the problem of pride. And they were dividing up. And that divisions in the church, of course, was creating problems. And so he's used chapters 3 and 4 to describe himself. You see, the big argument was that people were taking sides. Some were saying, well, I'm of Paul. And others saying, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Jesus. And they were using it as points of division. More specifically, they were using it as, I'm a little better than you because I follow Paul and you follow Cephas. Or I'm a little better than you because I follow Apollos and you follow Paul. And it was dividing the church. And so, just kind of as a quick review, you go back in chapter 3, Paul tells who he is. In chapter 3, verse 5, he describes himself as a minister. We talked about this last week. That word minister, it means to wait tables. Paul's describing himself and Apollos as just simply waiters. What kind of heroes are waiters? Well, they're not heroes, you know. Paul said, all I do is just serve the food. In the first part of his chapter, what we talked about this morning, he described himself as a servant, which is very simply an underling. Somebody's under the control and authority of someone else. He called himself a steward, which is simply an overseer or manager of something that you've been placed in charge of by somebody superior over you. And so the reason he's gone through this, again, is because people wanted to think too much of themselves. It was a pride problem. And perhaps there is a natural inclination of man to want to build a hierarchy, you know, of, well, we're better than they are, or we're more important than they are because of whatever reason. And in society, that's the way that most people act. You've heard people say, well, I'm climbing the ladder. Yeah, I'm climbing the corporate ladder. Kind of the same mentality here. They wanted to climb the ladder of importance. And so they were using whatever means they could possibly use to climb that religious ladder, if you will. They tried to use their teachers, Paul and Apollos and Cephas, and they tried to use the Lord's Supper. We'll find out later. They were using the Lord's Supper as a means of dividing the church. They even tried to use their spiritual gifts, saying some were more important than others because of the spiritual gifts that they had. And Paul's bringing them back down to earth. He's saying, no, that's not who we are. So read verse 6 with me now. In verse 4 it says, now these things, brethren, I figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Paul is saying, I've told you all this so that you can think right. Get your mind right. If you ever saw the movie Cool Hand Luke, they had a problem getting their mind right? So, and that's what Paul's simply trying to say. This pride thing's got to go. This division has got to go. And don't you dare use me and Apollos and whatever means as a method to divide. Because God has made you one. And that's where we get to in verse 7 and 8. He said, for who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Paul stops and says, let's take a look, a reality check, if you will. Everything, he says, that you have, it did not come from you. You did not receive the gifts that you have, the teachers that you have. You are not who you are because of yourself. But rather, you're who you are by the grace of God. Everything you have was God-given. You know, this is where we'd have to stop and be reminded of who we are and what we are, right? Everything we are is by the grace of God. I mean, the reality is we can't brag on anything we have, whether it's some spiritual gift that God has given so that we're usable in His service, or even on the outside, whether the homes we live in or the jobs that we have. It's all given by God. We have it by the grace of God. And so Paul points that out. Were you not given these things by God, you wouldn't even be able to have these things. And then in verse 8, he describes their mentality. You did not receive these things, he's saying, but in verse 8 he said, you're already full. You're already rich. You've reigned as kings without us, and indeed I would wish that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Paul said, the way you're acting is you're already full. You've already rich. You're already kings, you know. And he's kind of put it in the mentality as though you're in heaven. You're reigning with Christ. You're not in heaven reigning with Christ. As a matter of fact, your attitude is not even real as what it should be on this earth. Now, we know that one day we'll reign with Christ, right? But that's not now. We're not here on this earth to reign. But instead, we're here on this earth to serve. And so, Paul's trying to get that across to this people. And he's doing a really good job of it. And then in verse 9, he says, here is the reality of who we are. Look at me, he's saying. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Instead of bragging on himself, saying, look, I've started churches and I have these gifts and I've taught and look how important I am. He's saying, here's the reality of who we are. God has made me and Apollos and the apostles and servants of God. He's made us a spectacle. That when he said displayed us as men condemned to death, for all the world to see, they just look at us as they're condemned. They're going to die. They're going to die because of their beliefs and their God and this Jesus that they're following. They're going to die. That word spectacle, it means an exhibition. It's not a make fun of kind of thing, but it means a demonstration before men. And it was a theater word that they would use to refer to a play that was being performed. It was a spectacle, a program for all the world to see. And so when he says we've been put as a spectacle, he said to man and to angels. He said this is playing out before the eyes of men and before the eyes of angels. And what is it that's playing out? Verse 10, he goes down the list. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You're distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we're both hunger and thirst. And we're poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as filth of the world, the offscourging of all things until now. See, Paul goes from that look at me mentality that the Corinthians had to here's what we really are. And here's what we're appointed to at this point as servants of God on this earth. Listen, never. what Paul's trying to get to them is, this is what Christianity really looks like sometimes. It's not about being somebody. It's not about being better than anybody. It's about paying the price that has to be paid to declare the cross of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Yeah? And as we do that, you know, I'll be honest with you, as Americans, we're pretty spoiled. As a pastor in America, I'm spoiled. I'll admit, okay? But we don't know what tomorrow holds. We could face serious persecution for our faith. And if we do, we've got to have this mentality. We have to have the mentality of being willing to be dishonored and being willing to hunger and thirst and being willing to be poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And whatever the cost, there's no cost too great to serve and honor God. That's what Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthians. That's what Paul is saying. This is what I am. Don't brag about being someone that's following the Apostle Paul, because this is what I am. However, you be willing to follow the example. I want you to look one more scripture at verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. You know what Paul's saying here? You put it all together. He's not saying, okay, look at the example that I'm setting, even though, okay, Paul was a good example, right? But what he's saying is everything I've just told you. That you be willing to be fools for Christ's sake. You be willing to be weak for Christ's sake. You be willing to be dishonored for Christ's sake. You be willing to hunger and thirst and be poorly clothed and beaten and homeless and labor working with your hands and be reviled and persecuted and endure and defamed. You be willing to do all that for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why in the world would we be willing to pay that kind of cost? Very simple. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He gave it all for us. And you know, Paul goes on. And he kind of gets on him here. He doesn't kind of get on him. He does get on him, okay? He said, now some are puffed up there in verse 18. He said, now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love? And in the spirit of gentleness. Paul's saying the pride's got to go. This division's got to go. Nobody's better than anybody else. It's all got to go. Why? Because you can't serve the Lord when it's all about you. It'll either be all about Jesus or it'll either be all about you. And you have to choose which of those two. You know, it kind of makes you smile here when he says, do I come to you with a rod? What does he mean? He's going to get serious. Don't make this preacher come and... But he also says something else. He says, verse 19, I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. This is why it is so very important that we not let pride get involved in the Lord's work. Because it robs the Lord's work of power. When it becomes about what I've done, it's no longer about what God has done, can do, or will do. You know? When you're completely dependent upon God, when you realize how insignificant that we are and how everything that God is, you realize therein is the power. My friends, again, I don't preach I hadn't preached this. I preached this because this was next in line. But it's something that should be a reminder to all of us. There are no big eyes at Victory. There are no little eyes at Victory. Right? There is no division at Victory. Amen? Come on. There's no division at Victory. It's not allowed. There's only one body serving together. Everybody loving everybody. Bring honor and glory to God. And I believe that's the way it is. If it's not, you need to repent, right? If it's not, you need to get rid of the big eye mentality and let it become all about Jesus. Now tonight, of course, we have business meeting. And so we're going to do that in just a moment. But I do want to have a verse of invitation tonight. And this invitation is for anyone who needs to respond to Jesus. My first question is, are you saved? If you're not saved, you need to respond to the call of Jesus. Jesus gave His life so that you could have eternal life. And we're told in the Word of God in Romans chapter 10 that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you come to Jesus today? Maybe you're here today and you've gotten sidetracked, kind of like the Corinthians. And the important thing's not the important thing. Maybe it's time to get back on track and make Jesus the Lord. Whatever your spiritual need is, we're going to have a verse of invitation as we stand. Heavenly Father, I pray now that Lord, You will bless in this invitation, that You will give us, Lord, what we need, that we may be a church where there is no division, but rather You are the centerpiece and the focus of all that we do. Heavenly Father, now we pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.